Hey, sports dads, we got a special show for you today. I want to send a special shout out to all of our veterans out there, all of our men and women who served. We thank you, and we want to do a special show for you today. So here we go. Wow. Wow. So effortlessly, Miss Houston. We thank you for that. Way back in 1991, we had two football teams, the Buffalo Bills and the New York Giants, two New York teams playing in the Super Bowl that year. Shout out to the Giants for winning that game. And the rest is history. Today, we are joined by a near and dear person to my heart, Dave Skoblik. Dave and I played wide receiver at Fordham University from 94 to 97. Today, Dave and his wife are raising their four beautiful daughters, and Dave is with me today. It's been a while, but I am so glad to see you, bro. How you doing?
Awesome, man. I couldn't be happier to you taking the time and reaching out. I'm so excited to catch up a little bit here.
Me taking the time. Listen, I called you or messaged you through Facebook, I think last week. You hit me up like few hours after that, let's do this. And then you said, hey, Monday's the day for us, so let's get on the show and let's do it. So, man, I appreciate you just making the time for me, you know, so thanks.
My pleasure.
We go back, and, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. Can't thank social media enough for allowing us to stay connected throughout these years, and even at great distances. I'm out here on the West Coast. You're Pennsylvania, out there on the East Coast. So, you know, it's just great to be able to see you and what's going on in your life. And again, thanks for being on the show, bro.
Yeah, man. No, absolutely. Again, I'm excited to do this and really looking forward to the conversation. So.
We spent 4 years together in the Bronx. We played the same position. We spent a lot of time together, meetings on the practice field, you know, we're traveling, all of that type of stuff. Share that with the audience a little bit, some of the things you remember from back in the day when we were together.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, those were some wonderful memories. You know, I listened to certainly Calvin and Robbie talk to you on this show, and it really got it stirred up a lot of memories for me, for sure. I was a little unique with the whole intro to the wide receivers, and that's where Cal's story really sticks out for me. I came in as a quarterback, and it wasn't until Cal got injured and sort of, you know, I had been used to always playing high school. I just wanted to be on the field. And when Cal got hurt, I know, you know, Ryan was behind him, but the receiving core was thin. So I brought it to coach and said, you know, hey, Joe's was obviously Joe,
right?
Joe was going to play. Joe was good. Joe was great. And I saw an opportunity, hey, maybe I could try and translate this over to the wide receiver position. So then I joined you guys. And yeah, you know, it was on from there. Obviously, listen to the trick stories and how close he made us, you know, I think. And I have a deep appreciation for Joe. You know, obviously he was hell on earth when it came to football. It was really hard. And I know we all leaned on each other because there were days we thought, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can play for this guy. He's just relentless. But the appreciation I have for what he was trying to do, and I think we all got it. And that's that style of coach. And as I've coached and met other coaches, it certainly sticks out as something that I wouldn't trade for anything. You know, in relationships we had such a great group of guys who really all, you know, shared in it. It didn't matter. We all supported each other. You know, we were each other's biggest supporters. So yeah, man, it was quite a room we had and quite an experience, and it changed over the years, you know,
as
Dave came in and certainly Tom and Adam and Coach Bakia, and then all the other coaches, you know, Fred was Fred and Coach Q. And, you know, it was really an interesting experience. I think for you and I, what I find really interesting about our group was we came in with 26 and we graduated 9. So it was almost a testament to the 9 of us that actually made it to that stage, because all those things I'm talking about, there were a lot of things that could make you say, you know, I'm giving this up.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. So, you know, that's one of the things I'm most proud of is the guys that I got to meet and share the journey with and managed to get through it.
And when you say we graduated 9, right, you can look at yourself, you can look at Larry, you can look at me. We were 3 that came in together, that we had that grit, we had that grind, and we were able to make it 4 years. So yeah, man, we had some times, and you just jogged my memory, because I know when I was a freshman, I came in, I was just like, where am I? What am I doing? You know, I'm just trying to find my way. And I totally forgot until you just reminded me, you started out as a QB. So you were throwing me the ball. So we were always together. Right. You were throwing me the ball those first couple of days as freshmen. Yep. And then, like you said, once Cal got hurt, I didn't know it was you that approached the coaches and said, hey, I need to get on the field and this is the best way to do it. So,
exactly.
Wow. Thanks for jogging my memory on that one.
Yeah, it was me and Sport who were the 2 freshman QBs who came in. And then I moved over, you know, right after Cal had gotten hurt, and that was it for me. You know, I sort of fell in love with the position and the group, and, you know, once I had a chance.
Now, was that the first time playing a position other than QB? I know you may have played defense, but on offense, had you ever had any experience in your high school days or peewee days of playing that position?
No, never played receiver. I played tight end in peewees. My first year was 7th grade. I played tight end, which is funny because I probably weighed all of 80 pounds, you know. But again, you know, that's sort of the amazement when I think of you and what you were able to do at that level at your size was just incredible. And that's, you know.
Running for my life most of the time, but finding a little niche, you know what I mean? I did a lot of my damage in the inside, you know, so tackle box, you know, 5-6 yards, pass the line of scrimmage. And then I did a little wiggle and a jiggle to get, you know, up the field. And then you were on the outside. And, you know, I tell you something, right, we'll talk about this play. But every single coach or player that I've talked to over the last 2 months, they remind me of the Harvard play. Now, it's easy for them to remember me in that play because I made a catch, ran 20, 30 yards, set up the winning field goal. But I remember in the post-game interview, I was interviewed for the first time by the paper, and they wanted me to walk them through the play. And I said 2 things. I said, thank you to Joe Moorhead, who came back to me after I dropped a huge one a few series ago. And I want to thank Dave, because if you hadn't thrown the block that you thrown downfield, I would not have made the yardage that I made on that play. You know,
I remember it well.
2 sophomores, right? And a guy who never played wide receiver in his life down there blocking and springing me so I can make that play. What was going through your mind on that?
That game's one of my fondest memories. You know, I feel like that was you, me and Cal sort of had just, we were in it. You know, like they talk about being in the zone. It was one of those games that you just felt good about what we were doing, what Joe was doing. I remember catching a conversion route down to the 1 yard line on the sideline. I got the wind knocked out of me. I remember poor Jimmy LaRose, because you know me, I had that terrible habit of chewing tobacco. And I had just put one in at halftime and I was on the field. And when I got hit, he thought I swallowed it. So he was rushing on the field like, oh my God, I'm going to get in trouble. But it was just my win. And it brings up another thing for me was the 1 yard line, which was sort of my curse for my career. I had been to the 1 yard line like 10 times without getting in the end zone until my last college game, which was crazy. But that Harvard game, you know, I remember Cal and you and just having career days. And I was involved a little bit. I had some catches in that game and some blocks, but it felt, you know, there's a couple of games I remember so well. And that certainly was one of them. I feel like that stadium was special. The whole experience of going there and, you know, we weren't good. So at the time, you know, we weren't winning. It wasn't that we weren't good. I think we didn't believe it yet. And that was one of those first games like, wow, we can do this. Right. We can play.
Right. You know, big shout out to Charles Davis, because, you know, he scored a touchdown going into halftime that got us back into it. And then he had another one, you know, that really gave us some momentum to keep it going. So, you know, I remember that. I have very fond memories of that game, not just because of the part that I played, but, you know, you mentioned it, some of the other guys that were doing big things yourself. And I remember, you know, Cal making a big fourth down catch, and I was on the sideline. I never thought I was going to get back into the game because I had dropped one before that. And Cal kind of saved my butt. He made this huge catch, and my eyes were just so wide. It's like, that's what this is all about, making plays and showing up. And we're sophomores, so we're still trying to figure it out. And you yourself, a converted wideout from the QB position, you had the mentals of the position because you were quarterback, you know, and then it was just the physical part of transitioning over. And speaking about mentals, because we had another game, another great experience our sophomore year. We went to Bermuda. And you brought home something that that showed the mental smarts of the debate over there with Holy Cross. So you played a big role in so many different things for our team.
We
weren't there, you know, that was, it seemed like you guys was on a separate island doing that while we were out on the beach. You guys were repping us in the intellectual way. What was that like for you?
It was awesome, you know. Obviously, the debate side of things being so big in that culture, I had never, always had an interest in it. I actually went to Fordham pre-law and then got disgruntled with the whole lawyer idea. But when they approached us about that, I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, I've always wanted to do it. So we had a really cool moderator at Fordham who prepared us well. And winning that was really cool. You know, it added a layer to it for sure. I mean, that whole trip, there were so many unique experiences, just from the whole preparation and the atmosphere. And then the game itself, you know, for me, that was a really, I think, my turning point to, okay, I'm a receiver now. Like, I get it. I remember our first game as freshmen was at, Hofstra, I believe, with Wayne Krebet.
Yep.
As their wide receiver. And I'll never forget when I got my first, you brought up the block, right? The reason I was getting on the field was I was pretty good at that part. You know, I was a pretty good blocker. It wasn't necessarily the hands, that was a work in progress, and the routes and all of that stuff. But blocking I could do. So I remember Coach Q calling me over and telling me we're going to run that crack screen to Dre. And I was lighting people up in practice. I was ear holing them, right? And I remember Trick saying to me, he's like, listen to me, just get in the way. This guy's an All-American. Do not try to ear hole him. Just get in his way. You know me, right? I'm thinking, I'm going to light this guy up. And I'll never forget him. Greg Amon, he was an All-American, you know, 6'3", knuckles dragging on the ground, middle linebacker, big dude, a senior. And I'm eyeballing him. I'm coming at him. And I'm like, I'm going to crush him. And he picked me up and swatted me like a fly. He caught me under the under the chin with the forearm, de-cleated me, and he tackled Dre for an 11-yard loss. And that was my first play. And I came to the sideline, and coach was shaking his head. I told you, just get in his way, you know?
That was a great experience for us as freshmen, because on that particular trip, they were able to expand the roster, you know, because I didn't go on any away games as a freshman with the varsity squad. You know, we played our JV games. We went to Lafayette. Right. But that was the first time we were able to get on the bus to go with the varsity squad and actually get in a game, you know.
Yeah, I remember Billy threw a touchdown pass on the fake field goal in that game. But fast forward to here we are in Bermuda. Right, another All-American middle linebacker, Dave Streeter for Holy Cross. I'll never forget it. We ran that play again, and I knocked him out of the game for about two series. And Dre had a 70-some-yard touchdown on that screen pass. So
you learned, right? Yeah, redemption. You learned, and you said it. Now we had roles, right? Coaching staff did a great job of bringing guys in that can do different things. You know, Larry, myself, we had to wiggle. You know, you came over and played on the outside. We had Fritora, you know what I mean? He was a headhunter out there as well, you know, and you guys, you know, you like tried to one up, like you got one. Oh, I'm going to get one. And I remember that. And I'm like, you guys go have fun, because I'm 5'5", 130 pounds. And that middle linebacker and outside linebacker, I'm running around them, you know? So we had fun all the time with sure that did, type man. Of stuff. And that game, you know, in Bermuda was fun. And, you know, Cal and I touched base on it. You know, was the running worth it?
The night out, you know,
the night out after we missed curfew, was it worth it?
You know, I probably shouldered the bulk of responsibility for that. One of my best friend growing up, ironically enough, was Holy Cross's number one. We went to grade school together, and my love for football was through Jeff. His team played my team every day at recess for 7 years. It was me against Jeff, but we were also great friends. So I remember being in that club in Bermuda, hanging with those guys a little bit. And they're like, you guys have a curfew? We don't have a curfew. And I'm like, yo, we just won and we got to be back. So I kind of spearheaded the, you know, we're not going to show up for this curfew. And I remember how upset Dave was. And he was. Oh, God. Then I felt bad. He got really like upset. We went right from the bus, from the airport, right to the gym. And he's like, you are going to run. So, yeah, you know, looking back, it kind of adds a layer to the whole trip. Like, hey, it made an experience. But, yeah, I do remember it well. And I'm probably responsible for most of it.
That's what we do when we're young, you know. And I remember standing, you know, at the door of the spot we were staying, and I'm just watching guys come back. And Dave was probably, Coach Patino was probably, you know, 60 feet away. And he's just, he had that look. And I'm like, yeah, we did something. We'll see what happens. But all good. Great memories, man. That was a great time. And, you know, to be so young and to be able to experience that, that was just amazing. Wonderful. Just amazing. And I got to thank you, man. I got to thank you. You know, on the birth certificate, it says, you know, James Lamont Simmons. But, you know, for the last 20, almost 30 some odd years, I've got this name that has stuck and has stayed with me. Scatnat. And I owe that to you. You know, I'll talk to different guys. Say, what's up, Scat? What's up? You know, you gave me that name, Dave.
And I think it's you know, again, it comes out of all those meetings and days. And as you're talking about working over the middle, you had that ability to just miss the big hit. Mm. Everybody, you know, thought, here, I'm gonna crush this dude. And you had such quick feet and such a good player that it was almost impossible to get a clean shot on number 32 or number 5.
Yep, 32 and then 5, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we were sitting in film, and I believe it was something Dave had said, and I was like, the scat net, you know, it's just impossible. And, you know, Dave, he was always animated, and I think he sort of pounded on it a little bit, and it stuck from there, you know. And, you know, Leos, once Leos gets a hold of something, it's there.
It's done.
I mean, I could see him, you know, walking across campus when I broke my hip. On the crutches, he used to mimic my limp and school day, be yelling across, got it.
And that's, you know, we had a lot of good stuff happen, you know, but you just mentioned the hip. We both had some health things go on that, you know, missed a little bit of time. And, you know, that's, you know, like you say, Leos, because Leos was 2 years older than us, you know, but the bond of, you know, being in the rehab, you know, working out with guys, getting back and getting going, you know, how was that for you? Because you had maybe two, right? You had
two,
you know,
yeah, and my neck injury as well. Yep. So, you know, it was a challenge. I think my hip was a funny one because I remember, you know, when it happened, they thought it was a hip pointer. And I had hip pointers, and, you know, I like to think of myself as being able to play through some stuff. I remember, I don't know if it was Dave or Trick at the time, but one of them, it was probably Trick, who came into the training room, and he's like, "Are you going to milk that thing for how many weeks? You know, I need you. You're in the rotation now. I need you on the field." And I was like, "I'll get dressed right now." And I threw on my pads, got off the training table. Of course, I was gimping all over the place. And he's like, "You know what? Just in typical Trick fashion, go see the trainer, the doctor, or something. Get off the field." Like I was milking it. So I remember Vinny sending me down to Dr. Z. And when he threw that x-ray up on the screen, he's like, "Oh my God, your whole, the half moon, the iliac crest was shattered. It had spider webbed off the crack." And he's like, "This is car accident injury." I have sport to thank for that. I'll remember it was a JV game. And then one of those balls that, you know, you got to make an effort for, but it probably hit the goalpost. It was so high. And I just got hit two helmets, one in the front, one in the back. Yeah. But you know, injuries, to your point, you know, the training room was a great place. Talking about nicknames, I remember walking in for the first time and Vinny seeing me and saying, "Little Scooby," because my sister had played basketball at Fordham. Gotcha. And he remembered my sister well, and her nickname was Scooby. So, yeah. As you know, that name, I think there's still people from Fordham who don't know my name's Dave. It's just Scooby, you know, or Scooby, which is funny enough. So definitely, they really do stick.
they do stick, and, you know, great nicknames, and, you know, I appreciate it, you know, because the guys, they remember your scat, you know, and definitely your Scooby, you know. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, I wanted to let you bring that into the conversation. But great memories, man, and a lot of learning. You know, we had two position coaches who could not have been more different in their approach to the game. You know, not that we gravitated towards one or the other, but what are some of the things that, you know, you learned from Trick? What are some of the things you learned from Coach Patineau that stuck with you? You know, and that stick with you today. And, you know, we'll talk about this parenthood thing, you know, and how that relates into your parenting style.
I couldn't agree more. Couldn't be more different. You know, Trick had the hard nose, and Dave was a player's coach.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, again, I hate to keep going to stories, but this one, I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember the 3-on-3? Me, you, and Cal in hoops against Trick?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it was Trick, Dave, and Patrick.
We were ballers.
And I think that says a lot. Like, they challenged us, some of them in different ways than others. But, you know, that's part of it too, right? They're trying to get the best out of you. And I think they made us push ourselves to places, Trick especially, that we didn't know we could do. You know, after running doubles in the heat and thinking, "Man, I can't even move." And then everybody's going to lunch and we're on the track.
Still running.
You know, and guys were vocally complaining. Dorian and some of the people that used to go at them, like, "This is, you know, BS and we shouldn't be doing it." And us having to pick each other up because there was no other way to get through it. You know, we lost four or five guys out of our group because they just couldn't take it. And then you bring in Dave, and Dave sort of had the other, I go to the Bermuda, right? He made me feel terrible because he got so upset that we would let him down, you know, and those are all really important coaching traits. I think as I've coached more, you know, I coach some high school football. I coach a lot of basketball. Now I coach AAU basketball. I've been doing it about 8 years, and understanding different kids, right? And different methods, and the great coaches, I don't think they're one or the other. I think they're a blend of a lot of things because it's what the kid requires. It's not what you require.
Yeah.
It's how do I get the most out of that player? So, you know, reflecting, I appreciate both styles, you know, tremendously. And all of the coaches, you know, all of how they approached it and learned so much from each of those guys. Even Coach Q, I think, you know, has a certain had a certain presence about him that I often think about, how calm and how he always stayed focused, and you know, that head coaching versus the assistant coaching. And so, yeah, I think we're blessed to have a number of good role models,
right?
You know, and you got the chance to coach side by side with those guys, which had to be real interesting on a peer level, you know, then to bring it. And I think you're a perfect example too of a great type of coaching style, right? It was more, you know, you've done it, right? And you have the ability to lead by example more than anything else, to have been there and to have done that and to do it the right way, you know, to.
We had great coaches, like you said, and it wasn't just at our positions. I mean, because when you talk about, you know, still being in contact with the grad assistants, right? You know, Coach Adam, you know, when he comes out to Cali, you know, we connect, you know, and we connect even when he's not here, you know, and he was with us, I think, for a year, you know, because I remember freshman year or maybe two. I think it was just one, but those guys really cared about us. Coach Padgett, you know, a man of great faith. And I remember we had a very, you know, we lost one of our brothers, you know, our junior year. Rest in peace, Billy. I love you, man. We just celebrated you not too long ago. But to have a coach like Coach Padgett be present and speak the words and share a letter from his mom, you know, those things stick with us today. You know,
man, that's, you know, you just bring up probably the Billy's certainly still such a huge part of, I think, who I am, what I try to do. I think he was really, if you talk about Fordham football, there's a couple of stories I'd love to talk about with Billy, because I think they were the most impactful things in my sports life for sure. First and foremost, when I got to Fordham, one of the first guys who I connected with was Billy. I was having a typical rough week at practice. You know, I was a little bit of an outsider when I came. I had the long hair going. You know, the older guys were really laying on me quite a bit. And I remember walking into lunch one day and Billy walked up alongside, introduced himself. You know, I introduced myself. And I started to say, you know, hey, I went Scranton Prep. He's like, quarterback, you guys played Shamokin. And I'm like, what? How does this guy know even who I am? You know, and that was Billy, right? The fanny pack, the baseball stats, the football stats, bringing Jimmy the paper every morning in the training office. I believe I got in a fight with the entire baseball team. He was the manager for the baseball team. You know, that was Billy. My first daughter's Anna Tierney. You know, she's after Billy because Billy, as a girl dad, that's who I want my daughter to marry. You know, a guy like that. Billy pushed me. That's why I remember racing in sprints after practice every day, because Billy was always out front. And I don't know if you remember the Lehigh game our sophomore year, 21-14. We almost beat them. And I remember going to the sideline because the free safety was not covering me on the push route. And I'm like, coach, tell Danny the post is wide open. So he called it. Danny threw a perfect ball, and I dropped it to tie it. And I remember the first guy there was Billy, like, you know, and probably you, of course, but just cheering me up because Billy had given a speech before that game. And then fast forward to Lehigh in the epic comeback. I mean, that huddle, that was my greatest sports experience ever. Guys were tears running down their face in that huddle. Everybody chanting that, man, the hair standing up on my arms in those final two plays. Right? 9 seconds. We're on the 2-yard line and it's double fade. Throw it to Jerry, throws it out of bounds, double pressure out. Tell him, throw it to you. He says to me, and I go to the huddle and I go, double pressure out, throw it to Jerry. And Jerry goes, Scoop, what are you doing? Pressure out goes to you. I said, shut up. Billy's watching, catch the ball. And damned if Jerry doesn't make that catch, man. And we go on to win that game.
Man,
you know, it was such an experience. And I believe it was the culmination of everything that Coach Q had tried to do. I remember believe, right? He would always talk about, we just have to believe it. And like any sports team, right, you go through your phases where you doubt, like, is it the coaches? You know, this guy's not good. I'm better than him. All of that self-doubt, inner doubt, and that breeds, you know, a lot of obstacles to overcome. And in that moment, I believe Billy, you know, his presence, his everybody thinking about him at that time, we forgot about all that. And we just tried to do what we could do. And it worked. And it was incredible. Down 28 in the fourth quarter. I mean, you just don't see it. And for that to happen, you know, I remember, you probably remember Phil Stambaugh was the quarterback for Lehigh. We played against him. He was an All-American. Where after the game, I'd gotten to know him a little bit. And he's like, Coach called me over. He's like, Phil, what is going on? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's like, we could feel it.
Yeah.
We could feel what was taking place on that field. Yeah. And my oldest brother happened to make it to that game. And he's one of these guys who's real emotionless. And I remember him crying at the fence when he met me. And he's like, that's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. You know, and I carry that with me. You know, we talk about, sure, you think about, I think about Billy every day.
All
you know,
time.
He's, yeah,
all
he was
time.
Such a special, special guy. And, you know, that sort of cemented the experience for me when it comes to coaching. Like, what are you trying to teach? And even my kids as a father, right? You have to believe it first, right? You have to truly believe in yourself and in your teammates. You know, coaching AAU now, as we get to the higher levels, I tell the girls all the time, I'm like, we're getting to a point where the talent's here. It's a sheet of paper that's a difference, right? We're going to have as much talent as every team we play. What matters is that you truly care about each other and you believe in each other. And that's what makes great teams. That's
coming together, taking all that individual talent and effort and bringing it in as a team. Man, you know, I'm just sitting here and just listening, and I can listen to you for days talk about, you know, Billy, what he meant to that team, what he meant to that university, what he meant and still means to all of us on an individual level. Carry him every day, you know, those shirts
Absolutely.
That we had, you know, our Air Raid BT28.
Oh, man,
I still got it. It's got holes in it.
Yeah,
put it away just to keep it. And one day I'm going to put it in a frame and it's going to be hung because that's what he means to us. In that game, like the opposing team, they felt it. There was an energy on that field and in that stadium that day. And we had a will that wasn't going to be denied. And we prepared for those games so hard in the offseason.
Yeah.
And to go to Lafayette to get that first win, drop the game ball off to his family.
Man.
And then that following week have Lehigh and do what we did. And it was everybody. It was the
everybody.
Whole team
sure
that
was.
Just came together. So, man, thanks for taking us down that road of great memories and just great love for our teammate.
I mean, such a special, special memory. You know, just Billy was... He was larger than life. And, you know, I talk about him all the time to my kids. You know, my oldest now too is, she's getting ready to go to college. She's a hooper. She's good. You know, she's super athletic and she's going to play in college. So, you know, I reference him a lot, you know, and especially I try to be honest. I said, I didn't always do everything the right way. You know, I partied in college a little bit. I could have worked harder. You'll have that choice, you know, but then there's Billy. And I'm like, this is the guy who, you know, really set the example. And after that happened, I think it was sort of a revelation that to me, just in general, like, why him? You know, he did everything right. Why does he draw that card? And I don't, because, you know, I could question a lot of things. So I often think that's Billy's legacy, because again, we had 26 and only graduated 9. I think Billy really, you know, may have saved a lot of us who could have fallen off the rails, and gave us some perspective that, okay, now you're becoming truly an adult and a man, and it's time to take ownership of your actions and who you are.
And you're not the only one to have that thought of why him, not me. You know, I wrestled with that for various reasons, you know, and I think that's just him saying, and I think you're saying that too. It's like, what are you going to do now, James? What are you going to do now, Dave, to be that example, to be that model, and to make a difference? To this day, I've not gone to a funeral that had more people at it than Bill Tierney's. And he was a 20-year-old kid. but right. he had touched so many folks. So we have a lot to live up to and to live for and to, to carry on his legacy. So
agreed,
man. Yeah, man, good stuff. And you know, you've been talking about your girls, you know, four daughters. You're talking about your oldest getting ready to go to college. This girl dad thing is new to me. You know, I'm one of four boys. You know, it was football, it was basketball, baseball, it was all of those things, you know. How has this journey been for you with the learning and things?
Yeah, it's been quite an adjustment. You know, I mentioned Amy, who also went to Fordham, my wife. Amy's an only child too, so she didn't have a ton, you know, she never had the sisters. I was fortunate to have two sisters and two brothers, and I'm very close with my sisters. So I've leaned on my oldest sister, especially because my first two nieces, you know, they were born while I was at Fordham. So, you know, one of them was both of them were super athletes. One played at Baruch for a couple of years, and the other started all 4 years at Northeastern and set all sorts of records. 5'5". I would liken her a lot to you. Like, the size never mattered. The heart of, you know, a killer. And she had such a wonderful career. So I've relied on them a lot. But again, I am just blessed with my girls. In the beginning, I was like, well, how do I do this? You know, I'm a sports guy. Like, how's this going to translate to girls? And, you know, by the time we had our third, we have a little bit of a gap. We were debating finding out about the fourth. And my wife looked at me and she said, you don't want this to be a boy. You don't want a boy being with three older sisters. Four girls will do way more damage than any boy. And I said, you know what? You're right. I would actually be nervous now if it was a boy because I had gotten the girl thing.
Right.
And, you know, girls have challenged you in ways that is truly, you know, you can't replicate it. I had no experience how tough girls were. Right. And on a number of levels, coaching basketball, girls are more physical. They're, I think, more coachable, right? More determined. I had coached high school football and struggled because we weren't good and it was a tough school and had a lot of great experiences and a lot of fun doing it for sure. But then coaching my girls and even other girls, it's, you know, I find it truly fulfilling. I love every minute of it. You know, they're, like I said, they're as tough as they come. My oldest daughter has pushed me to places no guy ever has.
Gotcha.
In terms of frustration and anger and in a way that, you know, it actually makes me feel good about it that she's that strong and that she's not afraid, you know, no matter how crazy or how angry I get, she can handle it. And, you know, I'm just so proud of all of them. And I'm blessed to be able to coach them. You know, I've gotten a chance now to coach AAU, and it's super competitive. They traveled the whole country last year, and they had the benefit of a girl on their team who's ESPN top five. So she's getting a ton of exposure, playing some really great stuff. So it's been really a fun experience. And I'm coaching the 15 new girls last year, my younger daughter. So you know, I love it. It's fulfilling. It's, you know, much like you, I'm sure, like that sports itch, how do you scratch it as you get older, right? You know, it's harder and harder to play as we get older and do stuff. But that's really been for me that piece that, you know, and it's helps you, I think, as a father. Just in my sister, again, I'll point to her, my oldest sister, great role model. I started coaching girls with her. God, probably 15 years ago. And she used to make me sit there and just be quiet. I wasn't allowed to talk. And she's like, you need to learn how to talk to girls, right? Because so much of it's self-confidence. That's the difference, I think, with girls and boys, right? Boys, you're cocky when you're young. You think you could beat anybody at anything. And the girls are worried about what the other girls think about them. And you have to be so sensitive to that. And it's the greatest gift I think we can give them. And I think sports can give them is self-confidence. Being a strong girl who's confident in themselves. And that's what I try to do. You know, the X's and O's stuff with basketball, I love basketball, but I'm not as nearly as good at that as I would be for football, so to speak. But I try to give them the belief in each other
right.
and you know, the liking of each other, putting themselves out there for each other and supporting each other. And it's really fun to see that when it comes together and when they really get it. I've had a group now that I've coached for about 6 years, and we oftentimes look like the Bad News Bears. I say we go into these tournaments and the girls are so much bigger and more athletic. And I laugh because I know the other coaches thinking they're going to run us out of the gym, and we end up winning by 30. And he's like, I had no idea. And I'm like, I've had these girls for a while and they believe in each other. And, you know, that's the beauty of basketball, right? Talent doesn't matter. If you don't have that team, it's the ultimate team sport because there's only five. Football, you might be able to hide a couple of folks. Basketball, nobody can hide. Right? You'll get exposed.
Yeah. And I appreciate it because I'm getting ready to go into my second year of coaching. I said I'm going to coach 2 years. I've got to coach my oldest, and I did that 2 years ago. My youngest is coming along. I'm going to coach her. And, you know, we do our thing on the park and get ready. We were talking about that today. But it was a learning experience for the things that you said. It wasn't so much as me being good, but the social part of this person liking me, and how do you balance that, you know, because it was new to me, you know. And now, you know, it's funny, my oldest on the way going to school today is like, yeah, I'm going to race, you know, this boy, you know. And, you know, it's, we had a tie the last time, so we've got to break that tie. And she's so competitive and at the same time worried if she's good enough, you know. So you talking about that belief in self. And I said, well, you run cross country. Do you think you can beat him in a distance race? Oh yeah, I can beat him in that, you know. So it just shows when you have some experience and that confidence in yourself, just how far they can run and take off with that. So it's fun. I'm loving getting to know my girls in that way. That competitive side. And I've, you know, exposed them to different sports, and I'm like, okay, when you figure out what you want to do, then we'll get to it, you know. But now, right, you know, listen to your coach, practice, and do your thing. But there's a different level, like you said. Once that talent gets to that level, it's all about your preparation, your mentality, and your approach to the game. So good. I'm glad, you know, you've found, you know, something to, you know, scratch that itch of that competitive juices of yours, because I've never met anyone as competitive as you. I tell you, bro, it's like, you know, again, you come into a new position and you just went after guys, you know, and you wanted to dominate those guys all the time. And you said the group we had, it didn't matter if you was getting the ball or not. I'm going to get me a pancake on this play, you know.
Somebody.
So amazing stuff. You know, I always want to give my guest the last word, something to leave us with, and the floor is yours.
You know, I can't thank you enough, first of all, for just, you know, having this opportunity to talk about some old stories. And certainly, I think what you're doing is awesome. I'm a huge fan. I really appreciate social media for exactly this. You know, that's really the value in it to me, is you and Cal and Robbie and seeing different guys and hearing from different people keeps us connected a little bit. So, yeah, you know, anything I can do, I really support what you're doing. I love it. I'd love to get a group together one day, yeah, just to hop on one of these and share some of this stuff with, you know, those guys. So really appreciate it, and wish you all the best with your girls, you know, your beautiful family. I'm honored to be here, and I'm thankful that you, you've reached out and you've kept me close, and I miss you, man.
Brothers.
You, ironically enough, I'll say one thing.
Yeah.
I work for a company that's based in Sunnyvale.
Oh, that's now, right, COVID, down the street.
Yeah, I just started with them.
Yeah.
So I had traveled out for training right before COVID.
Yeah.
I literally started right before COVID, and then we got shut down. Yeah. But I thought of you, and I said, man, the next time I get to Sunnyvale, I'm going to look you up for sure, and we're going to get together.
We're going to make it happen. And I love the idea of some of us getting together, you know, our position group, and just doing a group, you know, chat and going down memory lane. And, you know, for me, you know, this project started out of a place of wanting to be connected with the important people in my life, you know, because we had this period of isolation, you know. And for me, I wanted to bring us together. I wanted to be reconnected with my brothers. And one of the things I'm so happy about what we're doing here is the things I'm hearing from guys after they come on the show. I reconnected with my dad. I reconnected with this person in my life. And that's what it's about. We are better together. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's what we were meant to do. We are social beings. So, man, I love you. And when you get out here, definitely look me up. And, you know, once things get a little better, I'm trying to get out east because I got, you know, my family and all the folks out there that I love as well. And we'll hit you up. So,
yeah, man. Love you, man. Thanks. Thanks again. And if you're out here, let me know because I want to be there.
We'll do.
Thank you for joining this episode of Fatherhood and Football, a Dad's Thing production, where finding and embracing our roles in fatherhood is a journey and one that we do not have to do alone. Please join us next Thursday for our next episode and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at A Dad's Thing for all your fatherhood-related content. You can also find our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, and Radio Public.